Welcome to Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. Also a pastor, but the reason I broadcast, I'm a father of five and just trying to figure out how to raise children in a day where 95% of people getting married confess they've already engaged in premarital sex. 37% of children born without fathers and now half of 20-year-olds say marriage is unnecessary. All right, so that's the world where I'm raising my kids. Now what do I do? I'm a dad. All right, I've got five children. What do I do? Well, we've got the 95% problem here. Henry Reinga in studio again with me today to talk about this very important cultural problem for fathers. And you're a father of five,
that's
Henry.
Right.
I'm sure you don't want your children to fall into the 95% category.
No, I don't. And I'm very convicted by God to do what I can to create an environment for my children to succeed. You know, there's important decisions in life. There's important commitments, you know, to serve the Lord and to give yourself fully, to be an active participant in walking with Him is like number one. I believe the second most important moment, commitment, relationship that my children will engage in will be who they marry.
Yeah. And our goal for the first 18 years is to prepare them for that day.
That's right.
We want them ready to marry that person and then raise a family for the kingdom of God and to the glory of God. That's the heart of, I assume, every father of faith listening to this program right now. Certainly is our goal. And Henry, here's the problem. Is obviously, if 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex prior to their wedding day, it appears to me that somebody's doing something wrong, okay? This idea of dating, if your idea of preparing for marriage is two teenage kids squirming around in the back seat of a station wagon at a drive-in theater, yeah, I'm thinking maybe that's not the best way to prepare a child for marriage, especially if you have this idea of purity in mind. And, of course, we're coming at this with a biblical worldview, which means that the Bible says you're not to fornicate, you're not to engage in premarital sexual activity until you have made that covenant. And that's biblical. And so we want to train our children to keep God's commandments, to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and somehow avoid fornication and one day have a fruitful marriage.
The danger that we have often is that we can react to the 95% statistic and then create a sterile environment.
Yeah.
We can react to church youth programs that are so age segregated, where the hearts of the children are stolen, where the vision that's given into the hearts of the children are not multi-generational. And then what we do is we go the other side and create a world where then our kids have a sterile environment for trying to find that spouse.
Well, you're right, and I think we can go overboard sometimes with our rules and regulations in responding to the 95% problem. You know, we don't want the 95% problem, but in the process, we wind up violating effectively God's word. Now, God's word doesn't say, here's how you do a courtship. In fact, the word of God has very little to say about courtship. It's very little to say about a lot of things. You know, how to decorate your home, fishing in the rain, dogs in the house. You know, there are a lot of things the Bible doesn't really deal with directly. But it does tell us that that God does not want our children fornicating prior
to
marriage.
Right.
I mean,
that's
a standard. And we as fathers and mothers have an obligation to teach that commandment to our children and do it by means of our applications. Now, if someone comes to me and says, okay, then how do I prepare my child for marriage? Now, some people come up and say, okay, you do a courtship program. There's stage one, stage two, stage three. Let me talk about stage one. There's 14 different steps you got to go through in order to make it through stage one of courtship. You know, that's not biblical. None of that's biblical. There's some helpful suggestions perhaps in some of that. But what we really want is how we can maintain the biblical principles throughout this courtship process. From the time that child is getting ready for marriage to the point where that child is taking the vows and putting the ring on.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I firmly believe is that the first part of the marriage is the home life, you know, the home discipleship, the habits of walking with God, the expectations, the light in the eyes of a family who loves the Lord and wants to walk with the Lord. And part of that, it changes as a child becomes older, 14, 15, 16, 17. In some ways, the parents are getting them ready that they're going to have their own home. By the time they're 18, they ought to be able to have the maturity level in most cases where if the parents died, they could still somehow live, survive.
Yeah.
Okay? And then that preparation, parents somehow finding a way to stand back a little bit and more the kids take responsibility for their lives. And, okay, now comes the courtship piece. How does that happen? Well, what we have found is one of the best places for courtship to thrive are in places where like-minded home discipleship families interact with one another.
In other words, already create a pool. If you're a family who's got a vision for this purity, for a courtship that results in a kingdom-seeking household of God, et cetera, you better not be planting yourself right in the middle of dysfunctionality. A dysfunctionality city. There you are. You've got all of these rebellious teenage years. You've got, you know, this wicked, fornicating society around you, and you're thinking, now, I'm hoping my daughter will find a really good guy in this population. Not going to happen. You got to be in a pool. What you're saying, Henry, is it's critical for families listening right now to be part of a godly church where you're not having rebellious teenagers. For the most part, you have teens that absolutely positively love and honor their mother and father, and you've got really healthy families happening. So number one, make sure you're part of a functional, healthy church body.
That's right. In our church, we're a home discipleship church, ministering to 250, 300 people. And we have had, this year, if every courtship ends up in marriage, and we're expecting that most of them will, we will be at 24 of our children would have got, spouses.
Wow. In 1 year.
Well, no, not 1 year. This will last
okay,
2 years.
Over a couple of years, right.
But that's incredible.
Yeah.
And we anticipate that, in the next 5 years, there'll be 50 of our kids will do courtship, but not courtship that is heavy-handed and that's rule-centered about here's 25 steps you must do, but the critical biblical things like do not be unequally yoked. The parents are involved, but the parents are not dominating the process. The parents have an appropriate role. The father has an appropriate role to assure that the protection of his daughter carries forward so that his daughter can be protected in the man plan the young man has, whether he's totally out of debt or not.
Right, right. And in other words, what you want is you want to make sure the father and mother, and I say they got to be a little more involved on the front end and less involved as it goes.
Yes.
In fact, the front end, you have more opportunity to take a look at that prospective mate for your son or daughter and say, it looks like, one that could be in the pool there, honey, you know. And so if you're there at the front end and checking out this young man and you find out that he doesn't have what you call a man plan. In other words, he has nothing in life. He's wandering around California trying to find himself at 22 years of age. You know, he couldn't find a job at McDonald's to save his life. Okay, if you've got this kind of guy, you need to turn to your daughter and say, "Honey, we're not even going to get started on this particular courtship."
Well, the daughter will respect father a lot for that because, and in the end, we don't raise stupid daughters. You know, that's the other thing I find when you have a home discipleship church, you know the guys. You know those guys who don't have their man plan yet. The elders, the leaders are encouraging them to get their man plan. You know, you create a culture where what's prized is to be able to walk with God and to minister in this world, to provide, to lead. Okay, and if that context is there, those characteristics actually come forward. Now I think what in many homeschoolers have experienced is we don't know enough other like-minded home discipleship homeschoolers. We're not necessarily in a community that prizes developing men plan for our young men.
Yeah.
And that, and then we pay for a world of hurt having a hope for courtship, but it's only an idealism that doesn't have flesh.
In just a moment, Henry, I want to ask you about courtships gone sour, because you've got more experience with this than I do. Now, for the most part, we have seen some beautiful situations. I mean, it is unbelievable. Normatively, what we're seeing is some of those outstanding examples of honor, of purity, of all these things happening, and tremendous households of faith developed in our churches, in your church as well as mine. But I want to, you know, issue some warnings here on this program today as we talk about courtship. Folks, be back in just a moment. Courtship's gone sour in just a moment on Generations.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Back on Generations, friends, this is Kevin Swanson, father of five, interacting with the 95% problem. I don't want my children part of that statistic. No way. 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex on their marriage day. Don't want that to happen to my children. And, you know, as fathers, we're reacting to these issues, and we're saying, okay, we want to apply the Word of God to life. As it turns out, God's really smart. God knows way more about everything than we do. So maybe we ought to go to the owner's manual and be guided by that as we lead our families out of the morass we find today in modern society. I mean, that's the worldview here on the program. And Henry Ranger with me to talk a little bit about courtship. Henry, you've got more experience than I do, and that's why I've brought you in here on this one. You have two children who have already married. You've been through the courtship process twice. Why don't you talk to all your experience here?
Thank you. Well, we were in a home discipleship church, which really helped. And my son and my future daughter-in-law were part of what we call young Christian leaders. And you know, that's like, ooh, is that a youth group? No, it's not a youth group. We have the fathers, mothers there. Since marriage is a peer relationship, we felt, and our elders felt very strongly, that in a discipleship context where we would not get out of balance and make it into the video game mecca, and that there would be a place for discipleship, a place for some interaction, for that confidence, that meeting. My son met a young lady at Young Christian Leaders, and oh, something else too. My son offered Greek class at our church, and this young lady's father with his three oldest daughters took Greek. So my son,
he's teaching Greek to his future wife.
Yeah, it must have been how he pronounced blepo, I see, or something. Yeah, that finally, right, you know. But anyway, they got to know each other. But then even at Young Christian Leaders, interact. And at some point, he asked Melissa's father if he could court her, and they courted, got married. Now, in the second case, we had a hospitality event at our house. We invited the Prince family over, had a great time. And in...
Now we're talking about your daughter.
I'm talking about my second one, my daughter.
And your daughter is now 18 years old?
I'm 19.
19, okay.
This was last year, and they hit it off. They started interacting. Now he's a Marine, okay? So they were interacting via the email and all the other stuff, and we liked their family from our home discipleship church, godly, walking with the Lord family. So here we are going out to California because, you know, Dad's got to check him out.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit to you, you know, I'm a little bit like, ooh, this could be a courtship that could go sour because, right, you know, he's a Marine now. How is this going to work?
And where's my list of 7,473 requirements? Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it's different with the daughter than the son.
Okay, how is it different?
Well, you know, I'm like the protector.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, okay, in my list for Melissa, for Henry's spouse, you know, I trust my son. We raised him as the best we could. He's had the fruit of righteousness. He's ambitious, got his man plan. Okay, fine. Okay. That's Melissa's father's problem.
Right.
Okay. So
exactly.
Now I'm thinking about, okay, Brianna, sort of fine out there. And I have to admit, I'm gritting my teeth all the way to California on the plane. I have a splitting headache by the time we get to the Marine base.
Yeah.
You're
going to give this guy the third degree.
Yes. On the way to the Marine base, my daughter-in-law, Melissa, calls me because she knows that I'm going to be loaded for bear.
Yeah.
So she calls me and says, Dad, don't be too hard on him. She says this.
Does she know this guy?
Not a little bit, but not too much. But she's just like, but she knows me.
Right.
The responsible home discipleship father who's going to protect his daughter and put him through the grilling.
You've got both shotguns loaded, double barrels.
I am. So I get over there and I am, you know, now I'm Dutch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have a lot of key values, but one of the values is work.
Right. Work.
Provide.
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 Work.
Provide.
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 Work, provide.
Work, got it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm thinking of every way, shape, or form to find out if he has enough ambition to be worthy to marry my daughter.
Yeah.
Now, no, Melissa calms me down. My wife, my great partner, was like trying to calm me down. So we get in there, and I mean, interviewing him, several indoor actions. And, you know, he's just young, and he's 23 at the time, and I'm like, oh, okay. But in the end, the Lord ministered to me. The Lord, I just really, there were some passages in my devotions. It's, what is the biblical requirement? That he is loves the Lord, that they're equally yoked, that he's responsible. Now, here's a guy who graduates first academic in his MOS class in the Marines, and what is my problem?
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm still having a problem, Kevin.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we interact, and it was just delightful where this went.
Wow. And they did get married.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And I just love this guy.
Let me ask you this, Henry. Could something have gone sour at that point, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. In my experience as a pastor and leader amongst homeschooling families, we have seen sour, you know, things where they went sour.
Yeah. And what causes that?
It can be the parents. I mean, if I could have gone there unrestrained and blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank the Lord that I was able to just pull back and realize it's their lives. Now, here's the scenario. What if I would have blew them out of the water in my self-righteousness on getting things like, how much are you in debt? What's this? What's this? All these other things, and put unrealistic, non-biblical expectations. I could have felt really good on the plane back. Okay, I break off the courtship for not necessarily biblical reasons. Mm-hmm. And let's say now, hypothetically, they don't get married. Now, that's a very dangerous thing because the happiness of my daughter in some ways is in the balance here.
Yeah.
And if that would have gone sour because of me, it could have been a souring factor in my relationship with my daughter. So I tell you, you know what? When I was young, I thought I knew everything. But now I more and more realize it's a very prayerful, humble walk.
So what you're saying is be careful with that list of expectations beyond the 3 to 4 the Bible gives you.
Yes.
You know, make sure there's no fornication. Make sure that they're not unequally yoked. Make sure that they love the Lord and that this guy's going to lead his family and supply his family, et cetera. So, you know, make sure that these sorts of things. But again, it's not as if a father can't keep a few other expectations in mind.
No.
But be careful that they don't become non-negotiables.
You know, in some ways, too, if you have a relationship with your children,
yeah.
I mean, Brianna and I were talking about all these things, and you know what? And the questions I had is the questions she had. Okay,
sure.
So in the end, we deal with those questions, and we're in relationship.
Yeah.
Where I've seen the sour ones is that the father and the daughter really don't have a relationship. He just has expectations,
right.
And then they don't really, they're not really in relationship. So
right.
I've seen, so why do things go sour? There are, I mean, even mothers with sons. We have had some examples of that. Probably don't have time to talk about those. But that's one thing. The parent team sometimes has to be very careful, get counsel, be with your other leaders and say, is that appropriate? What's appropriate? The kid team is also, I've seen things go sour, where they'll start too young. They think they want to court, but really it's an infatuation.
They're just
baptizing
not
it with courtship.
They're just
not ready.
They're just not ready to go. And this is one thing I say to our young people in our church. Any young man who wants to get married and takes an interest in girls, he's got one thing in his way of getting married if he's, say, 15, 16 years of age, and that is a three-letter word, J-O-B,
yes.
A job.
Okay?
If you don't fund your own family, you're worse than an infidel. And if you don't have a job and you're not bringing home, it doesn't have to be, you know, $140,000 a year. It could be $22,000 a year. That's fine. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be a high-end job, but they've got to have something going on. If there's no man plan in operation, if this guy doesn't have a job, he has no right to even consider the possibility of hanging out with some girl with the expectation of getting married.
Exactly. So they do go sour, but here's what I like about courtship. And again, I know it's not a word that's in the Bible. It's courtship is where there is an element of going exclusive. That is, there's talking about the important things, but what's the key issue is they're praying about whether the Lord is bringing them together on the context of loving parental and church support. Now, that is pretty powerful. So that in that context, even if the courtship goes sour, the ditches are not so deep because the loving community is saying, what's the Lord's will this? And if the Lord's will is no, thank the Lord. You know, and the parents are not going to be, you failure, you failed. No, they're going to be, you know what, honey? There's someone else. You know what, young man? You know, keep growing. Get your man plan going. Keep going further on this. And there will be another day. And you'll learn something.
Henry, I want to get back to something that you mentioned earlier. And it has to do with the pool in which your children will find their future mate. Let's talk about healthy peer relationships just for a moment before we're done here. Because there is such a thing as really bad peer relationships.
That's right.
And we see that pretty much normative across our society, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But what would you consider to be healthy peer relationships?
What I would consider healthy peer relationships, first of all, I'd make this assumption that these are like-minded, home discipleship, families who are together. And because I think it's very hard to get normative or healthy peer relationships if the two visions direct the peers. If the vision of the humanism of the world is directing one group and then you mix it with a godly vision directed, what you have is frustration, or you have this trying to lead each other down a different direction. I think that is the number one problem. Secondly, I think healthy peer relationships happen when fathers and mothers, when families get together. I think that's a healthy interaction. At our church, we have young Christian leaders where the fathers are there, and I would say that is really important in our church, because what was happening, if we did not have something that the elders were kind of leading, we found that even amongst homeschooling families, you'd have little cliques or little mini youth programs that maybe one activist dad would hold, but then certain people weren't invited. And then what happened, that there became like an exclusivistic peer thing happening. So we learned, our elders who really pondered this, because we were like against youth groups, but our elders pondered that we have to create an environment that is godly but not sterile. We have to create an environment where the young people can talk with one another, learn something about themselves. I'll give you a quick example. When you're 15, you might look at the member of the opposite sex and you are looking for somebody more like yourself. Okay, so you're talking a little bit and maybe a little, you know, I hate to use the word infatuation, but like a little, you know, oh, what about that person down the road? But by the time you're 18, you're more looking for your compliment. But it's good to learn those things with parents involved and all that interaction, because later on it's better.
While you're communicating with your parents concerning
relationship.
Your feelings. Absolutely.
See, that's key,
yeah,
relationship. Because you have a failure, so to speak, or you thought this but it didn't work out. Here's your mom and dad talking with one another. By the time you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you have a handle of who you are and who your life partner may be.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the discussion has been on courtship, and we're trying to develop a vision for families so that we're not part of the statistics that are virtually ruining the family in the modern age. And we certainly don't want that for our children and our grandchildren. My co-host today has been Henry Raenga, the author of The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity. And again, you can get a free book by going to homediscipleship.org on the web. That's homediscipleship.org for this free book, The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity by my friend Henry Raenga. Henry, thanks again for joining us on this very important topic.
You're welcome, Kevin.
And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. If you know other families, other friends that would like to tune into this program, please let them know they can hear us anywhere in the world, even Zimbabwe, at kevinswanson.com. We've got a growing audience in Zimbabwe. Folks, will you join us again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation?